Good morning, everyone. Great to see you all again on this beautiful summer's day, and thank you again for that tremendous intro. I always feel it really sets the mood for worship and praise. You'll see in your order of service there are some notices which I'll simply draw your attention to. As we gather here to worship God, let's be grateful for summer suns which are glowing over land and sea, the happy light that's flowing, bountiful and free. Everything rejoices in the mellow rays. All earth's thousand voices swell the psalm of praise. Let us worship God and sing to his praise and glory. Lord, teach me all your ways. It's hymn 21 and is a paraphrase of a metrical psalm. Shall we join together in prayers? Let us pray. We walk in your pathways. We are drawn here today to worship you in spirit and in truth. We come to you with praise on our lips. We come to you with the joy that being together, you are with us and we are with you, whatever our circumstances. As we praise your name, we bless you for all that you mean to each one of us, for all that you have given us in the beauty of the earth, in the love and joy of friendships and families, for good neighbours, for those who care, but above all, we bless you for your Son Jesus, who came and lived among us, who showed us a better direction in life, which was centred on his life, his example, his death, his resurrection, and the fulfilment of his promise of the Holy Spirit coming among us, that we may be like him. God of all grace, though we aspire to be like you, we know that we don't quite make it. We miss the mark. We miss the opportunity to say something which would encourage or support others. We pass by on the other side of the road when really we should have crossed over to offer a word of comfort or peace or love. We come too because we are inattentive at times to the music of your word. So we pray in Christ's name that you would forgive us, that you would renew us, remake us, re-energize us in our service of Christ and the church through our praise and prayer and worship to the glory of your holy name. And as we offer our prayers, we pray that we may gather them up, rejoicing in all that you have given to us and are for us, using the words which Jesus taught us, saying together, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. There's always a pressure on those of us who lead worship on a Sunday morning. And I'm talking this morning not about the butterflies in the stomach. I'm talking about the very generous and friendly welcome I got as I walked down after I parked the car, saying, "Great to see you again. Looking forward to the children's address." No pressure. I'm not going to look in the direction of the member of the congregation who's blushing now. There's nobody over here. And I'm not going to come down, and I'm delighted to see there are some of the younger folk with us. And I'm going to talk to you all because I'm going to ask a question which I think some of you might be able to answer. Do you remember Mulgai Garage? Walter Alexander and son, Midland Bluebird. The fact that it was in Bear's Den didn't matter. Those of us who were employees of Walter Alexander always referred to it as Mulgai Garage. Yes, I drove buses for Walter Alexander and son 50 years ago. I'm giving away my age. I know I don't look it. For 3 years as a student, at weekends, through 3 summers as a student and at weekends, long before the 1970 Road Traffic Act came in, when you could work all kinds of hours, as a youth, I could start at 3:30 in the morning, finish at midnight, and be back for a double shift at 3:30 in the morning. Oh, those were the days. I thought it was quite strange today as I came up here, thinking about how I would tackle the children's address. My word to the children has to be all-embracing, and I hope this is. Some of you will remember the number 12. One used to go up to Mugduck Bank. One, I think, went out to Strathblane, and I've a notion that one turned up at the waterworks there. I really enjoyed my time as a bus driver. But today I would like to tell you of a very vivid memory 50 years ago this coming week, July the 20th, 1969, the first moon landing. I had finished my shift. I had followed the story of the space race. I remembered Apollo 8, and of course everybody remembers Apollo 11. Apollo 8 was memorable because that was around Christmas time in 1968, and Bill Anders, Jim Lovell and Frank Borman were the astronauts who nearly got to the moon, but they had to prove that if they got to the moon, then they could get back from the moon. That Christmas, they read from the scriptures. And I would like to just read from a modern version of the scriptures, specifically for young people, the words that they read. Bill Anders read 1-4, Jim Lovell 5-8, and Frank Borman verses 9-10. In the beginning, there was nothing. Nothing at all. There was no sky and no earth. There was no light. There was no darkness. There was no yesterday and no tomorrow. There was no today. There were no people. There was only God. All at once, suddenly, when there was nothing there, God made the sky and the earth. That was the beginning. The earth was a quagmire. It was dark as mud. Until something happened, it was God who said, "Light." And look, there was light. "That looks good," said God. "Light, from now on I shall call you day." Then God looked to the darkness. Darkness mustn't think that it can boss. And God commanded, "Darkness, you there, go and find your own place. You are called night." That was day one. Everywhere you looked, there was water. Water, water, and yet more water. God put the water up into the clouds. Around them he made the air. "I'll call you sky," he shouted to the air. That was day two. Down below, everything was still the same. It was wet, wet, wet. "That's no good," thought God. He poured all the water into rivers and lochs and seas. The land around dried up. "I'll call the dry bit earth," said God. The earth began to flourish. Grass came through. Bushes began to grow. And the trees grew tall. That was day three. Imagine 50 years ago, three men looking at the planet which is our home, the blue planet, and read the creation story. And in a way, and perhaps less well known, when Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin were on the moon waiting for permission to leave the lunar landing craft called Eagle, they celebrated the sacrament of Holy Communion together. Aldrin had taken a tiny amount of wine and a crisp of bread and remembered Jesus' words, "Do this in memory of me." Whatever we do, whether we worship together or eat together or travel together or grow together, we walk and live in the love of the God who created us and the love of his Son, Christ, Jesus our Lord, who is with us always, whether we're young or old. He is here. God is love. Shall we sing together again? It's hymn 193. God is love, his the care, tending each everywhere. First reading comes from Paul's letter to the Colossians, chapter 1, reading from verses 1 to 14, and you'll find that in page 1182 of the Pew Bibles. I always like reading from the beginning of most of Paul's letters. He has a formula where he introduces himself and what he does. And then he begins with those tremendous words, grace and peace. Colossians chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy our brother, to the holy and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae, grace and peace to you from God our Father. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all the saints, the faith and love that spring from the hope that is stored up for you in heaven, and that you have already heard about in the word of truth, the gospel that has come to you. All over the world, this gospel is bearing fruit and growing, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and understood God's grace in all its truth. You learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, and who also told us of your love in the Spirit. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son. He loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. And again, in the Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 10, reading from verses 25 to 37, and that's on page 1042. A familiar story. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law?" he replied. "How do you read it?" He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." "You have answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this and you will live." But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" In reply, Jesus said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he fell into the hands of robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he travelled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him, bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. 'Look after him,' he said, 'and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have.' Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers?" The expert in the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." Thanks be to God. May God follow with his blessing the reading of his holy word, and to his name be all praise and glory. Amen. Those of you who are regular worshippers here will know that on the occasions when I'm in the pulpit here in St. Paul's, we specifically remembered the minister of St. Paul's in Balderknock, the Reverend Fergus Buchanan, and his family in our prayers, which I'm going to do in a moment. Last evening, I decided to phone up and do as I usually do when I'm phoning Fergus, simply leave a message on the answering machine to say, just to say, "We're thinking about you. How is things going?" Shalom, John. I never expect a reply, but I do eventually, and sometimes immediately, get the reply. Last night was ever so much better. I was just psyching myself up for my speech to the answering machine when the man himself answered the phone. It's great to hear him. He sounded cheerful and positive. He's had one or two setbacks, as you might imagine, over the last month or so. But Fergus, being Fergus, is keeping his spirits up, despite the treatment that he is undergoing. He tells me the medicals are on target, my words, not Fergus, and that he is taking it a day at a time. I said to him that the reason I'd phoned was simply to say that we would be remembering him and Gabrielle and the family in our prayers today, which we will do now. And this is still the prayer that Ken used on the first Sunday I was here, way back in March. Shall we pray? Lord, we pray especially today for our minister Fergus and his wife Gabrielle and their family as Fergus goes through this time of treatment. We would ask you to be with him and Gabrielle as they face the future with uncertainty and anxiety. Lord, bring them assurance that you are there with them both, bringing them a sense of your peace and your blessing in the difficult days that lie ahead. We ask this in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Shall we sing again, Son of God, eternal Saviour, source of life and truth of grace, hymn 468. As we think about your word to us, loving God, speak to us in the silence of our souls in Christ's name. Amen. I think I've mentioned before that my custom is to follow the set readings for the day. It's a discipline I've had for most of my ministry, but particularly when I'm not a regular in a pulpit, it makes me think in advance of coming. However, today's sermon is not quite what I thought it was going to be when I began. And by the end of it, you might be thinking that as well. I looked at the scripture readings and I saw the parable of the Good Samaritan, and I decided I'd entitle the sermon, in my mind at least, "When I Needed a Neighbour, Were You There?" Everybody knows the story of the Good Samaritan. I could rehearse that, and everybody would know, and that would be fine, and there was plenty to think about. But then I realised my idea of focusing on the question was not quite the direction that I thought that Scripture was taking me as I read the verses from Colossians. They certainly seem to speak to me in the context of Good Samaritan, and I will return to that outstanding story about love and care and respect in due course. The Samaritan story, of course, begins on that journey on a rough road, a lonely road through the desert. It's hot, it's dry as a bone, it's without shade, nothing grows there, it's a dangerous journey. It was all downhill from the heights of Jerusalem to the depths of the Dead Sea Valley. The difference in altitude between Jerusalem and Jericho, about the height of Ben Lomond. Jerusalem, 2,500 feet above sea level. Jericho, 850 feet below it. Distance to be travelled, about the same distance as from St. Paul's to my home in Helensburgh. As I think about that path from the summit of Ben Lomond to the Rower Denning Hotel, It seems a good way to allow us into the story, to try and imagine the gradients Jesus is describing, the ruggedness, a gentler gradient, of course, than the path down Ben Lomond, a journey that most people travel together, and only occasionally one person on his or her own. Just keep that in mind. Keep that in mind as we travel with Paul for a few minutes. I have to say there's some debate about whether Paul's the author of the Colossians, but there's much to be said on both sides of the discussion, and so much so that I go with the tradition that this is Paul, and it certainly sounds like Paul to my ear. In the letter to the Colossians at the beginning there, he talks about the message of the gospel. He's complimenting the congregation at the church in Colossae that they have held on to the message as it had been preached. He'd recognised that it hadn't diminished among them or weakened over time. And he goes on, you know, it's spreading all over the world. And we might take heart from that, because though we fear the message isn't bearing fruit at times in Scotland, it certainly is bearing fruit in other places. And I would also say that while we're not the country we used to be, the gospel is still preached and heard in Scotland. The gospel is preached here, Balbernock, Sunday by Sunday, and even every other Church of Scotland congregation and any other Christian denomination as well. And Paul wants to affirm constancy. Constancy in praise, constancy in worship, constancy in hope. We all know that Paul uses the fruit analogy from time to time in his letters, most particularly probably when he describes the fruit of the Spirit in his letter to the Galatians. But as he talks about it here, he's talking about it a little bit differently. And he does so because he wants to move from the affirmation of the congregation, and as I've said before, the fact that there are so many people in this place on a Sunday morning, in all your circumstances, is a serious affirmation of support for your minister and his family. Paul also wants to encourage. This, he says, is where you are. This is where you're going. And he continues, what does that mean? And this is where and why I left the Good Samaritan and travelled part of this sermon's road with Paul. The Good Samaritan is on that notable journey. He doesn't know what's in front of him as he travels, and who knows why. He is presumably, like every other traveller, counting the steps. I suppose, as we all do in our own journey of faith, whether as individuals or congregations here. Paul is sustaining Colossae in prayer and by prayer. And the letter to the Colossians assures and reassures that the neighbours around all of us are praying for us, whatever our circumstances. Paul is asking God for wise minds and spirits attuned to his will, so that they understand the ways in which God works. That was the question that the lawyer asked Jesus. Who is my neighbour? Help me to understand who my neighbour is. In Paul's comment, Paul's asking the congregation. And he says, we pray that you'll live well for the Master, making him proud of you as you work hard in his orchard. And as you learn more and more how God works, you learn how to do your work. And then Paul puts something which is often missed. He says, this is what our prayer is, that you'll have the strength to stick it out over the long haul. Not the grim strength, of course, of gritting your teeth in the kind of way that we have to get on with things, but in the glory of the strength that God gives us because we have been called to follow and to serve. And it's that strength which enables us to overcome the difficulties of life. It's that strength which enables us to endure the ups and downs of life. And believe it or not, it's that strength which spills over to joy. Joy in the Lord. Thanking the Father who makes us strong enough to take part in everything bright and beautiful. That's what Paul's saying to the church at Colossae. And it seems to me that given the current circumstances here in St. Paul's and in Balderknock, I have a sense that Paul is speaking to everyone associated with the congregation at this time. For Paul is calling us, and I include me, to constancy, compassion and concern through our faith, engaging in our service as we worship and support each other for the parishes we're called to serve, and of course, Fergus and Gabrielle and the family. The hope articulated in the prayer and expressed in the Revised Standard Version is, may you be strengthened with all power according to the glorious might for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints of light. What does that mean? That means living like the Good Samaritan. On his journey, he dared to cross the road. He dared to touch someone from a different ethnic, cultural and religious background. He dared to put him on his own donkey. He dared to take him to an innkeeper. And what's more, he paid for the accommodation. And what's even more than more, he left an instruction with the innkeeper to say, and if you need more than that, I'll pay you on the way back. And somewhere in that statement, often missed, is the generosity of trust. For me, as we think of the Good Samaritan, we think of the way in which Jesus took a story which was probably doing the rounds at the time of this remarkable guy. People would have heard about this, make no mistake. The Samaritan's example stands for us all. It challenges us all. The story is a parable. Let me finish with a parable. I'm on a bus travelling from Jericho to Jerusalem. The desert is exactly as it's described in the scripture. Bare brown, sand, rubble, rocks, stretching forever in the baking sun. We leave the main road. We're now on a single track road to visit an ancient monastery. As we twist and turn our way through the dried up desert, my eye is caught by an amazing sight in this middle of this bleak, desolate place. I spot a tree. I don't mean a bush. I mean a fully formed tree with trunk and a good-sized canopy of leaves. There is absolutely no sign of any water anywhere. But the tree is there. It stands sentinel in the sand, a bright and beautiful symbol of life in the sterility of its surroundings. How can it be? There's one explanation only. Its roots must run deep, deep into the sand until it touches the aquifer which sustains its life. That's my parable. I believe the Samaritan's life was rooted in the aquifer of his faith. And the challenge for us is to be sure that our lives are rooted in the aquifer of faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. My parable is one of answered prayer, of future hope, and by the way, of a photograph to prove it. Shall we pray? Loving God, keep us faithful in your way, in your truth, in your love. For we ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Your offerings will now be received. No, they won't. Just waiting to see what you all did. We're going to sing hymn 544. But before we do that, I would like to draw your attention to the last verse of the hymn that we sang before the reading, the prayer for understanding. I would like you to sing "When You Needed a Neighbour," "When I Needed a Neighbour," with that verse in mind. Because, read it carefully. Christ be in all hearts thinking about me. Christ be in all tongues telling of me. Christ be the vision in eyes that see me, in ears that hear me. Christ ever be. Hymn 544 this time. Loving God, we thank you for your generosity to us. We bless you for every good gift that you give to us. In honour of all you have done for us, we return these our offerings to be used in the work of Christ's kingdom and ask that you would use them with us wherever your will is done in Christ's name. As we remember our world, we thank you for its beauty and for your creating hand on us. We thank you for everything which we have to appreciate and rejoice in. As we bring our prayers, we offer to them to you through Christ our Lord, asking that your Spirit will inspire words spoken, words unspoken. As we commit ourselves to follow and serve you where you lead. We remember our world in every troubled area. We think of those who face flood, those recovering in Somalia from another terrorist attack, the fragile peace in the Middle East, praying that it will never become a pawn for superpowers. May the word peace become the watchword. May hope be built through dialogue, care and concern. That bridges may be built and barriers broken. We pray for the community of faith, for Christ's church throughout the world, that it may remain faithful in everything, living with honesty and integrity, care and concern, meeting the needs of women and men and children wherever they are. We bless you for the opportunity to worship here together today. We remember our community, those still at work, those on holiday. We remember those who are ill. We remember those who mourn. We remember too those for whom the season is joyful, of renewing friendships, for newlyweds and those looking forward to marriage, for families celebrating the birth of a new baby. May parents and grandparents be blessed. And we pray for one another. You know what's in our mind. You know the prayers which remain unspoken, yet spring from the well of our lives to your presence. And so we offer them in the silence a communion between us and you. You have heard our prayers and will go on hearing our prayers, as we will go on knowing that you answer them, as you draw us on in the life and work of your kingdom. And remember with gratitude those who have gone before us and who now rejoice in your nearer presence, our worship added to theirs in the communion and community of the saints through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Our concluding praise today, numbers 172, Sing for God's Glory That Colours the Dawn of Creation. Now go in the love, grace and peace of the Lord, and the blessing of God, Father, Son and Holy Spirit be with each one of you and everyone you love, today and always.